we are going to talk about advertising. We're going to talk about advertising in podcasts and podcasts as a medium of advertising with my friend Ben Harris from Sharp Creative here in Minneapolis. We are sitting out in front of his house in Mobile Podcast Command on probably the hottest day of the year. We're already sweating in here, except we got the doors open, so you're going to hear people driving by in the street, and you're going to hear, hopefully, we'll get the cicadas. And I mean, it is friggin' hot out there right now. So Ben and I are going to talk about advertising because we've been having these conversations about return on investment, which is, you know, a pet peeve of mine, and you'll find out why. Not necessarily Ben's, but mine. And we're going to talk about podcast as a medium for advertising, and I think it's probably one of the best mediums for advertising ever invented. We'll talk about it in podcast 943, the Bob Davis Podcasts. First of all, I want to mention that usually this is where I tell you where to get the Bob Davis Podcast. You already know how to get them because you're listening. But I want people to go to the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, lean over to the right a little bit, and look for this thing that says sign up for the Bob Line newsletter. That's what I used to call it. I don't know if I'm going to call it that now, but it's called the Bob Line. Put your email in there and your name, and then you're going to get an email back from me that says, do you really want the Bob Line? And you have to say yes. And that's a spam filter thing so that the Russians don't take over the world, and the Ukrainians and wherever else these people are, the Philippines and every place else. Really appreciate that because I'm doing the newsletter every month, which just gives you a summary of the podcasts I've done, the ones that I liked and the ones that I think people should listen to. But there's going to be more things coming with subscriptions, so you know, stay tuned. Well, someone that both Ben and I know very well, Brenda O'Connell from Auntie B's Rentals, right?
Yeah, Brenda's great.
Brenda is really an authority on what's happening with the rental markets, which goes both for renters and people who are buying properties as investment properties. And she is pretty friggin' amazing. I get her on the phone, and we talk about the rental business and what's going on. Hey, what's going on, Brenda? What's up on a Friday?
Yeah, great question, Bob. What is a big thing is not being automated.
Oh.
There are 90% of property managements are very automated. Click here, click here, click here. I know due to what is going on in the world, especially in the last 4 months with this pandemic, is that people have either lost their jobs or an uncertainty of their housing has happened. So there's a lot more that goes into making sure they're qualified tenants. You know, yes, I run a full background check. Something that's unique about Auntie B Rentals at Realty One Group Choice is we let the owner, the landlord, make the final decision on the tenant. Even if I'm managing them, I hope I'm bringing a qualified tenant into the property because I'm going to still work with them. But then it gives that owner that security and that comfort of knowing I personally chose that. Before they even apply, I make sure that I go through a full process of pre-screening them.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to waste everyone's time. I want to make sure that it works for them. If this owner says no pets and the tenants have Fluffy, sorry, I can't show you the house that you have Fluffy that will be living with you. So I try to do whatever I can to go the extra mile to make sure we have the highest quality tenant living in the property. So if you're a landlord looking for a property management company that's going to go the extra mile during this pandemic to make sure that you have the most qualified tenant living in your property, call me, Auntie B at Realty One Group Choice at 651-600-7655. Yeah, just that simple. 651-600-7655. Can't wait to talk.
Yeah, the number once again, 651-600-7655. Brenda wants to help people with investment properties and renters. And she really knows, as you can tell, she knows how to take care of people, right? I wish she was my property manager. She helps you find properties, crunch out the numbers, determine whether the value is there, and find you a house, find and service tenants, give property owners, and actually tenants, peace of mind. Click online at auntiebrentals.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, and we will talk to Brenda again soon. To start, Ben and I network together. We're not going to say where, but we network together. We've been talking to each other for a long time. Ben is I'm going to have you tell your whole story so I don't have to, but he has an interesting background and an interesting approach to advertising for his clients. He'll tell you all about that. But we've been having these conversations because I'm not going to speak for you, but I deal with small businesses. And one of the things that I hear all the time is this ROI thing. And I hear it all over the place. I see it in podcasting you know, publications. I see it in people who post on LinkedIn about podcasts. Return on investment. How do I know I'm going to get return on investment? And I always tell the little story, especially with clients. The old guy in the checkered suit with the cigar that ran the radio station used to say, you know, how do you know if it works? And he'd say, well, I'll tell you what, Bobby, you just say to him, is your business getting better or getting worse? And they'll say it's getting better. And then you say it's working.
Yeah, right.
Because the local radio guy never sold ratings, and ratings are BS anyway. And so people say, well, how many people listen to your podcast? That's a whole long involved. That's a podcast in itself. Or they'll say, what's my return on investment? And what's your performance? And when I hear that, I don't even want to deal with the guy, because podcasting is such an interesting medium in how it kind of almost as a mental compost pile leaks into the consciousness of people, because they don't know what they're listening to. They know that they have their four or five podcasts they listen to. If you're in the queue, great, but they might listen to your podcast occasionally, and they might forget. They might think they heard it on Joe Rogan, or they heard it on some other podcast that they listen to, a sports podcast or something. So the concept of return on investment is very personal to me, and it's a trigger. So Ben and I had a long conversation about that, and we're going to talk about podcast advertising and how effective it can be, because you actually have kind of a strategic plan that includes podcasting for clients who want to do it. So
right.
You should enter and sign in, please, and introduce yourself and talk about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been in the design and advertising industry since 1999. I worked for others for about 12 years until I started Sharp in 2010. And the reason that I started Sharp is because after seeing client after client come across my desk, there was this realization that there were really kind of two camps of clients. Some of them were people who knew exactly what they were buying when they came in to buy these deliverables from our ad agency.
And that's, the deliverables are materials,
yeah,
audio,
absolutely. So that,
whatever.
That could be advertising spots like podcasting. It could be websites. It could be printed materials. Anything that gets your message out there, right, is kind of that's our language for it, is deliverables. And so it's kind of an all-encompassing term for that. And so if we had business owners that we were working with that knew exactly what they were doing with what they were buying, they were really, really successful. And then there's this other camp of people that would come in and say, well, man, I need a website. Of course, everybody needs a website, right? I've got to have one too. But there wasn't a lot of specific thought in terms of what they wanted that to accomplish for them, where it fit into their overall communication strategy. And really what we learned is that the further from that nice, concise strategy that a client was, the less effective these marketing materials were. And it was proven to me time after time of watching these people come across my desk. So by the time I had left there, I had been the creative director for about 6 years, and I really wanted to take a different look at approaching the industry in a new way. And that really focused around the idea of prioritizing strategy and positioning above these deliverables that I was talking about, right? Because all of these different deliverables are simply channels of communication, right? They're a means of delivering a message to a customer. And I'm fairly agnostic with that. I think podcasts are a fantastic way to do it. I think, you know, dropping flyers out of an airplane might be a good way to do it too, depending on who you're reaching and
dropping
what the audience is, right? Yeah, right. And so, you know, we have all of these different channels of communication, and they are neither good nor bad. They just exist. They're a means of delivering a message. But what I find to be really most important is what it is you're saying, to who, and why they care about it, right? And if you understand those things, if you prioritize the strategy of why you're communicating with someone, those channels tend to emerge.
And that's kind of your marquee process.
That really is, right? And so we have a process that's called Whetstone, which is a brand positioning workshop that we bring clients through. And so we'll go through, you know, many hours of conversation where we identify, you know, the background of the company, the nature of the business, the demographic and psychographic characteristics of the customers, and really kind of help build out the entire brand platform and brand strategy. And toward the end of that process, we go through a section that's called analysis and implementation. And really what we've done up until that point is say, okay, here's who we are, here's who our customers are, and here's why our customers care about us. Therefore, we should position a brand in this way. So now, in this analysis and implementation section, we can say, all right, here are all of the channels that we have been using. Here's what we've been saying through these channels. But here's really where we want to be positioned. This is who we want to be attracting. And so what is it that we should do in terms of a little bit of a gap analysis to understand how and why we edit advertising methodologies to get the desired end result, which is just attracting the kinds of customers that we want to have.
So in some situations, you would say you should try podcasting because it fits with your corporate communications, or it's a way to, let's say you're doing videos and we're going to make podcasts out of them as well because it's a way to thicken that approach, or not recommend podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And the answer could be different depending on the individual client, depending on their audience. But it is a fantastic fit for many businesses, as long as, you know, there's a little bit of thought put into sort of the larger communication strategy, right? If we are in a situation where we're doing only podcast advertising, but there is no consistency of messaging through any other channels of communication, you can see where that might be a little bit confusing for a customer.
Sure.
And how they would onboard, right? And that plays directly into these conversations about attribution and ROI, which,
well,
I know that you have a lot of thoughts about.
I do. And you had a word which I love, and I've actually used it, and it does kind of tend to make them go, wait, what? I've not heard that word. And the word that you just used, instead of ROI for podcast, is attribution.
Yes.
Which is,
yes.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, attribution is, in marketing terms, is simply understanding where a lead came from. How do you attribute your new business to some channel of communication that you're using, right? So for some companies, that could be direct mail, that could be radio, that could be podcast, that could be digital advertising, like pay-per-click or something like that. So attribution simply means assigning where that lead came from in your marketing landscape.
And we also talked about, and this is why it's so important for companies to go through this brand identification process, even if they don't use you, to try some way to, you know, develop a branding approach, because it clarifies the message. All too often, and we've both had clients like this, good people who want to say, okay, so I do floor mats, but I also do carpeting for cars, and I also do detailing, and we want to get that in. And then we've got two numbers for this, and we've got two numbers for that, and it's all called AAA Auto Detailing of Chicago.
Yeah, well, you're reminding me of the old guy with the cigar, right? Like, the days of,
yes,
kitchen sink advertising are pretty long gone. You know, I think people relate to brands who specialize in what they do. They want someone that they feel a personal connection to, and that is an expert in what they do.
And
you know,
getting
there's an
to
awful
that,
lot of choices,
yeah,
out there.
And,
right?
And you're saying, what's the end result? You have this fabulously clean car, so let's rename the whole thing Clean Car of Chicago or something, so it makes sense. If, in other words, and I'm simplifying it vastly, but the biggest problem in advertising is they will say their advertising doesn't work, but then they have this extremely complicated message that they want to switch back and forth from.
Yeah.
And they don't, so then they blame the advertising. Well, I'm not getting any ROI. Well, what are you selling?
Well, I mean, there's kind of two sides to it, right? So one, you want to make sure that you've got good, clear, consistent brand messaging so that you're able to communicate to customers what they can expect from interacting with you, right? And that's a very important thing to communicate. But on the other side of it, too, you have to know very clearly who you want to attract. You know, more customers is not necessarily better.
Oh, that's great.
More good customers is better, right? So who are they? What about those customers is good? And what does that actually mean for your internal business processes, right? What types of customers can you service the best? What can you monetize the best? And so there's kind of an interesting overlap if you imagine this Venn diagram between business strategy, brand positioning, and then sort of, you know, any sort of external advertising sources, right? All three of those have to be in alignment. And that's not to say that they ever change. It's not a static thing, right? So your business strategy right now might be to attract a certain kind of audience because of an internal business reason or you know, you're interested in expanding into a new market or something like that.
Or your partner wants to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's okay. You're saying that's not, you're not criticizing the partner, but you're saying getting all the parties together and saying, okay, let's talk it out about what we're trying to accomplish here.
Right, exactly. Because 1,000 of the wrong leads doesn't do any good. You know, on the other hand, you have to think about what sort of internal capacity you have. So what kind of clients are you best able to monetize, at what rate, all of that, right? Because 1,000 leads that you can't follow up on don't do you any good, and 1,000 of the wrong leads don't do you any good, right?
Right.
And so, you know,
Or leads that you can't... the story that I told before we started recording was... I was trying to buy advertising for a client for podcasts, because that's one of the things that I will do in a bunch of podcasts. And I don't know if you know who Leo Laporte is, who's probably the guy with the first podcast, one of them. And I think he started This Week in Tech. And I called them up, and they got right back to me. And Leo Laporte's wife called me, and she said, you know, we've looked at the company that you're talking about. It's a small little company. And I have to tell you, first of all, you know, a 60 was $2,200, which, you know, they had the money to pay for that if that's what they wanted to do. But she said, you know, we would break their website. They're too small of a company to use our podcast. So what you're saying is kind of similar. You know, yeah, you can do placemat advertising at the local Chinese restaurant, and you might get a lot of inquiries. And I have clients that have done that, you know. And we used to do that when I worked at the local radio station. I mean, we're a small micro radio station. They had the placemats at Cipriani's restaurant in Chicago Heights, and it was news, sports, weather, and then it was the news of the day on the placemat. And they claimed that it was maybe it worked. I don't know, but I'll never forget that. It was just like the funeral announcements and everything right there on the plate. But you're saying it's about figuring out what leads you want and how you can serve those leads.
Yeah, right. One thing. It's kind of funny with the placemat on the Chinese restaurant, because that might be a perfect place for someone to advertise, right?
Right.
Tums or something, maybe, I don't know. But what I normally describe it as is that, you know, you can think of your brand as your voice, right? And you can think of any of these advertising channels as the megaphone, right? It doesn't matter how big your megaphone is if you're shouting the wrong message through.
Right on. Okay, in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about podcasting as a medium. So I'm gonna push you in that particular direction, and we will do that. Now, earlier we talked about rental properties, and we talked about advertising there at the very beginning of the podcast, and Brenda O'Connell with Auntie B's Rentals. So if you're buying or selling, if you are a renter, if you have any kind of issue related to real estate, what do you need? I'm going to tell you. You need Tim LaCroix. You need Tim LaCroix. You need Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law, because he is really an awesome real estate lawyer. A lot of us have worked with him. We know his whole deal, and he is great, done a lot of great work for people. So whether it's your first house, lake home, rental property, downsizing, any of that stuff, the question is, do you have a good real estate attorney? Do you know what you're signing? That's where LaCroix Law comes in. Now, he has the experience and knowledge, especially for first-time home buyers. You know that real estate is complex. And a lot of times people just, you know, sign something when they're handed a pen. This is why you get Tim LaCroix. LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor and construction, residential rentals, and here's the big one, mortgage and community associations. Call Tim LaCroix, 763-226-0758, or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to Tim's LinkedIn page, and you can communicate with him from there. Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law. Well, every week, Ben and I and another guy usually sit together at the table at 7 o'clock in the morning. And his name is Jason Waldron from Cartridge World, and I love advertising. And you talk about a clear message, right? This guy has the clearest message you can imagine, and here it is. I hate my printer because those print cartridges cost so much at the big box stores. Why pay more to print? Are you responsible for that?
No.
Cartridge World cartridges, of course, guaranteed to perform as good as new. In fact, I think they're better. Free delivery on qualifying orders statewide. They are serving the universe from Maple Grove. Cartridge World at 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So now I'm going to make Ben talk about something I want him to talk about, because I feel obviously very passionate about podcasting as a medium. And it's great to talk to somebody in advertising. Now, I do have to mention, so the wind is coming up and we've got these issues. So before we even start, I'm going to turn around here, pull one of these doors shut in back. I'm in the back of the ambulance and Ben is up front, so kind of up front. And we do that because we want to keep the microphones from fighting each other. So I've got trying to reduce the wind flow. Anyway, I think podcasting is very much the new one-to-one, one-on-one media. I'm talking to people literally one person at a time in a podcast. It's not, and you don't hear that anymore on the radio as much as you used to. And you don't see it in a lot of communications. Everything is, hey, YouTubers, thanks for tuning in to my YouTube channel. And it's very hard to get people to understand the one-to-one nature of listening. And the fact that there really are no rules when it comes to podcasts. They can be 2 hours, they can be 45 minutes, they can be 10 minutes, they can be whatever. And I just want you to talk about that as some kind of a new entry to the tools in your toolbox as a guy who helps people with advertising.
Well,
because you're a podcast listener. I mean, you're one of the few guys
listener
at our group, yeah, that walked up to me at 7 o'clock in the morning and went, Bob Davis, I listen to your podcast.
Right.
Which is great.
Well, I think that's a little bit of a loaded question, because there's a couple of different ways that I can take that. And I want to make sure that I'm talking about what's most important to you. But so there's podcast advertising and then there's podcast creation, right? So
right,
we can think about a brand who has a lot of content to share and they want to be, you know, occupying a place of education for their clients. And so, you know, there's some really great examples that are out there that I could mention that do a good job of connecting in a really, you know, forthright and meaningful way.
So you're saying corporate communications?
Absolutely.
Right. And no, there are great podcasts.
It's a stripped down, you know, conversation with the owner of a fairly large company. They've got a loyal brand following, and maybe they're explaining, you know, certain attributes of their products or things like that. And it's something that people eat up because they're interested in that.
Because they have the product.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So if it's some kind of a slide in camper and it's the camper guy and he's doing a podcast about how to use this thing or that thing.
Or you're a car guy and the owner of the company is just sitting there talking to you about all sorts of different, you know, parts that can improve the performance of your vehicle or things like that, you know, whatever you might be into.
Right.
And so there's a lot of value for individual businesses to start podcasts if they have a lot of education to share. But there needs to be good, solid, consistent content. There needs to be passion behind it. Ultimately, there has to be an audience that cares deeply on an ongoing
basis. And you're talking about corporate
communications,
but what about podcasts that are actually created content, then they provide an advertising platform. So they're not corporate communications, they're entertainment or information, and then people put ads in them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think there's a lot of benefit to advertising on podcasts as well. But because it's a fairly new medium, attribution isn't necessarily this sort of one-to-one ratio like we can see in other sorts of channels where, you know, a user does this and we know exactly that they came from that source, right? I remember when we were talking about this the other day, I think I was making a comparison to my garden in my backyard, right, where podcast advertising is kind of similar to putting a fertilizer on your garden, right? You've got all of these different channels, whether it's your website or other ways that clients can contact you, and that's where you're seeing the leads come in. But through podcast advertising and that sort of just general buildup of awareness because of podcast advertising, you can amplify the effectiveness of those channels, right? And so attribution, typically in podcasting, you'll see that done through things like promo codes or incentive offers or, you know, and you hear that a lot in ads, right? Like just enter XYZ at checkout for your 25% off or whatever the deal is, right? And that is...
I think that's an attempt.
That is the closest, best way that we can get direct attribution models in podcasting right now. But I don't think that's really the point with podcasting.
I don't either. That's why I like you.
Yeah. Right. Because I agree.
No. It's because you help me understand how to explain that to people. And I think the garden metaphor is fantastic. Because that's the thing. As one of our both mutual clients has said, you have to try to touch people in lots of different ways, in lots of different places, and you need to be consistent about it until you start to see improvement. And this person has a very successful business and has a very, you know, really a straightforward approach to business. Mm-hmm. And she has used billboards. She's used the little cards at grocery stores. She's used, you know, all these other places. And she said, don't worry about, you know, quote unquote ROI. Worry about touching people in a lot of different places as much as you can.
Right, right. Yeah. And so podcast advertising is a great way to make sure that you're building up that that general brand awareness. And that's a little bit different from starting your own podcast, like I was talking about before, where that's most useful in really putting some meat on the bone around your own brand.
On your website or additional content in lots of different sources,
yeah,
for your brand, whatever it is.
It just fleshes out your brand, yeah. Right? It makes it more personal. It makes it more approachable. It gives people a reason to consume that content and draw themselves even closer to you as a company and to really become evangelists for your company.
Absolutely. And that's another, that's a whole different area where people really need help. Because everybody thinks, well, I can do a podcast. Well, it's like writing a book. You might have one good podcast or two or three, but having 100, you know, and you can't. The other thing is, I have a friend who did all his podcasts for a year, and they were all locked in and ready to go, except for one problem. He did them all before COVID.
Oh.
And it's a networking guy. And the problem is he doesn't have a networking anymore. So he has to produce all new podcasts. And he was like, why did I do that? Mm. And it's like, because, you know, you need help.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. I'm sorry to laugh, but it's just, you know, it's just interesting to me. I get it. Like, yeah, I just want to get this done so I don't have to worry about it. And then what happens if there's some national emergency or something changes? Well, that's not going to happen. You know, I'll never forget the night before 9/11, people calling up and said, what if somebody flew a plane into a building? Ah, that's never going to happen. You know,
yeah,
next day.
I mean, there's a lot of social media managers that got turned on their heads with COVID too, because they do the same thing, right? They'll put out these content calendars and
plan
them for a long time in advance. So they know what they're posting at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, 3 months from now, right? And they build all that content out at the beginning. So any of these big, you know, life-changing events like COVID, that requires some rework for sure.
Let's talk about analytics a little bit. I had a doctor once describe MRI machines and CAT scans as technologia.
Okay.
Because they reveal things that you have to tell people that they really don't want to know and won't affect their lifespan at all because you can see them. And so what happens is you go in for an X-ray or a CAT scan after you've had an accident or something, and a radiologist looks at it, and they're compelled. They have to write, oh, by the way, you've got this, 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 and this, and then the doctor has to tell you. And the doctor then says, you know, has to go through this whole process of saying, don't worry about it. And then you worry about it, right? Because of something that they saw that has nothing to do with anything. But the reason that they can see it is they can see it. Mm-hmm. And so analytics reminds me of that people who get really deep in analytics, they're like sessions versus actual usage versus which pages they click on. We can get very granular with this stuff. And then I'm not sure people really fully understand it. It's like back in the days of radio, we used to get, people could get super hardcore into the ratings, and you'd be like, that's not even actionable information. I can't do anything with that. Mm-hmm. I can't tell the disc jockey that every 3 minutes he has to say this word because you think that it's going to improve average quarter hour usage or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
Analytics... as it relates to websites, has gotten so incredibly granular and complex that it's almost a little bit spooky. And everything you think about Big Brother, everything you
it's
hear
true.
About Big Data,
it's all true.
It's absolutely true.
I would love my hands on some of that data.
I mean, there are digital billboards that are able to be synchronized with the people who are driving down the freeway, pinging the individual cell phones that are driving down there and averaging out what the best ad should be displayed on that digital billboard. And all of that stuff happens in real time.
That's pretty amazing.
Everybody has seen ads follow them around the internet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then on the follow, other side, yes, I mean, there are tools that literally record your session on a website. So if they wanted to, they could see exactly how long you hover on certain parts of the page and all sorts of things like that. They can generate heat maps. They can generate timestamps, all sorts of things like
yes.
that. That reminds me of the comment earlier about the distinction between the voice and the megaphone, right? And, you know, if you're able to rely on analytics as a way to be able to improve the channels of communication that you're using, A/B testing, things like that. But if you're going into all of that data without a clear voice, without a clear direction, without a clear brand position, then that data can get very confusing very quickly, and it feels like you're slogging through all sorts of things that really don't make any sense because there's a lack of clarity and direction there to begin with, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. I think that's the key to the whole thing, is it's knowing what is it that we want to accomplish here. Mm-hmm. And once you know the answer to that question, what do you want? That's another question. And people say, well, what do you want? You know, we saw that in the show Mad Men, you know, when Don Draper was sitting there with the guy from the hotel. What was his name again? I forgot. He said to him, what do you want? And Don was like, I want you to advertise, you know, I want your account. And the guy was like, the next time somebody asks you what, it was Conrad Hilton. The next time somebody asks you what you want, you better think bigger. You know, because he was like, that's not an answer. That's, right. You just want my business. That's not an answer. Right. I asked you what you want.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, that goes right back into the earlier conversation about that kind of overlapping interest between business strategy, brand positioning, and advertising. All three of those things need to be linked. And a lot of people think they are already in their business, but, you know, time after time when we have conversations in Whetstone, we hear results on the backside of it saying, you know what, I've never had a better sense of where I'm
I've heard it too.
And having everybody
I've heard
aligned.
It too about what you do. Absolutely. Yeah. People are blown away by learning that process. Small business people, often do not learn that process until they absolutely have to. It's the same thing as financial management, which don't even get me started because I don't know the first thing about financial management. That's why I'm driving a 25-year-old truck. But anyway, they come away from what they do with you really with their eyes open as to how to define what their business does. Okay, so Ben has a gazebo in his backyard, and I was at the house. You let me into your house. I'm sorry, and I came in to use the bathroom. And he's talking about how he has to do all this work on the gazebo. And I said, why don't you get Randy Grabo to turn it into this palatial thing? And he was like, yeah, that'd be great. Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders can really do amazing work. They've been working on taking people's decks and turning them into four-season porches, which really are great home offices because you can watch the whole family from there. But at the same time, you're sequestered, so you could do Zoom conferences in peace without your four-year-old daughter climbing on your shoulders or your cat. So here's the deal. You want to get hold of Whitetail Builders. They're at whitetailbuildersinc.com, or you can just call Randy at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Randy loves talking to people about their stuff. Whitetail is focused on the details, and you'll love the results. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. So if you're driving through Minneapolis, I'm actually in a very close-in suburb to Minneapolis, but if you're driving through Minneapolis, especially in the uptown area, Lynn Lake, I want to refer you to the Lynn Lake refueling station at 36 Lynn. It's 36 LYN, 36 Lynn. Not only are those guys out to help the community, they feature a great selection of really great locally sourced products in the store, from great coffee to burritos and other awesome food. I always talk about burritos because I love them, but I never eat them because they have, you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to eat them or not. Remember 36 Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis and need gas or a cup of coffee. For more info, great 36 Lynn events. Check them out online at 36lynn.com. The deal is they're an independent refueling station, which means they get you a better deal on fuel every time. Click on the 36 Lynn awesome, sick, amazing banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. So it has been great talking with you. And by the way, you got to say again, Ben Harris from Sharp Creative, and the process that we've been talking about is Whetstone.
Yeah, that's right. The Whetstone brand discovery process.
And I'll put links up. And you did not pay for this podcast. I sought Ben out because we commiserate. But in the commiseration, I do want to mention This isn't just a couple of advertising guys bitching and moaning. There are some really great clients that do amazing things and that end up with strong successes because of their business acumen as well. And that comes through in that process. This isn't you sitting there going, you should do this and you should do that. This is a process that everyone is involved in, and it's an organic, holistic, if you would use the word, in terms of the development of a concept.
Yeah, I'd use the word collaborative too, right? It's about revealing the strengths that are already there and presenting them in a way where it's easy for people to see the good in it, right? It doesn't invent anything that isn't already there.
Right.
It just shines some light on it.
Podcasting is a great medium for selling, and especially when there's an affinity. And if you want to talk more about that, give Ben a call or call me at the Bob Davis Podcast. Just send me a note through thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening. It is blazingly hot in here and on the street. Thanks for listening to podcast 943.